In Houston's film, made when he was serving in the Army Signal Corps, the doctors are still patriarchal and the patients are still terrified young men. But they manifest their trauma differently. While the World War I soldiers flail, have facial tics, and collapse with paralyzed bodies, the following generation talks and cringes. Their bodies still keep the score. Their stomachs are upset, their hearts race, and they are overwhelmed by panic. But the trauma did not just affect their bodies. The trance state induced by hypnosis allowed them to find words for the things they had been too afraid to remember. Their terror, their survivor's guilt, and their conflicting loyalties. It also struck me that these soldiers seemed to keep a much tighter lid on their anger and hostility than the younger veterans I'd worked with. Culture shapes the expression of traumatic stress. The feminist theorist Germaine Greer wrote about the treatment of her father's PTSD after World War II. When the medical officers examined men exhibiting severe disturbances, they almost invariably found the root cause in pre-war experience. The sick men were not first-grade fighting material. The military proposition is that it is not war that makes men sick, but that sick men cannot fight wars. It seems unlikely the doctors did her father any good, but Greer's efforts to come to grips with his suffering undoubtedly helped fuel her exploration of sexual domination in all its ugly manifestations of rape, incest, and domestic violence. When I worked at the VA, I was puzzled that the vast majority of the patients we saw in the psychiatry service were young, recently discharged Vietnam veterans, while the corridors and elevators that led to the medical departments were filled with old men. Curious about this disparity, I conducted a survey of the World War II veterans in the medical clinics in 1983. The vast majority of them scored positive for PTSD on the rating scales that I administered, but their treatment focused on medical rather than psychiatric complaints. These vets communicated their distress via stomach cramps and chest pains rather than with nightmares and rage, from which my research showed they also suffered. Doctors shape how their patients communicate their distress. When a patient complains about terrifying nightmares and his doctor orders a chest x-ray, the patient realizes that he'll get better care if he focuses on his physical problems. Like my relatives who fought in or were captured during World War II, most of these men were extremely reluctant to share their experiences. My sense was that neither the doctors nor their patients wanted to revisit the war. However, military and civilian leaders came away from World War II with important lessons that the previous generation had failed to grasp. After the defeat of Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan, the United States helped rebuild Europe by means of the Marshall Plan, which formed the economic foundation of the next 50 years of relative peace. At home, the GI Bill provided millions of veterans with educations and home mortgages, which promoted general economic well-being and created a broad-based, well-educated middle class.